shorts and bag.
That's a nasty looking finger, lady.
You got the bait?
What? No.
Hey, I got your fertilizer.
We made you.
Welcome back, interweb friends. This is Stop the Movie, I Want to Get Out. Hollywood makes bad movies. We make fun of them. I'm Alex Dunbar. Our movie this week is Justice League. I'm joined, as always, by Cody Wolf.
Is this a bad time to talk about my blood pressure?
We'll get into that. That's actually one of the moments in the movie that kind of made me laugh.
Yeah.
Christy Smorrell.
I'm a big fan of Justice.
And Nick Newark.
My facial hair is being digitally removed.
I feel like before we even get into this movie, because this is a different kind of movie from the movies we normally do. I mean, objectively, this movie is better than most films we do, though still very problematic.
Yes.
Well, I was gonna say, shockingly to me, I didn't hate this movie. Like, as much as I expected to. As much as I hated Batman vs. Superman and Man of Steel.
It's much better than those two.
It's so much better. Yeah.
But I think my big problem with it is that it's very forgettable.
Okay.
As a huge tentpole movie, it shouldn't be that forgettable.
This morning, I watched this movie last night. I finished at like 10:30 or 11 o'clock. And this morning, it took me like 15 seconds to remember the name of the bad guy in this movie.
Yeah.
A lot of that stuff I didn't like. We'll get into that stuff. But overall, as a movie, I didn't hate it.
It's
like
hard to hate. And you're right. It's also hard to love.
Yeah.
I mean, this is... I was watching it.
I hated this a lot. I mean, listen to our Man of Steel and Batman versus Superman episodes. I black out at certain points in those. I hated this less than those, but in a lot of ways I found it a lot more frustrating.
The third act was excruciating for me.
The third act. Tonal shifts throughout. Like, you can tell, like, oh, this was a Snyder scene.
Yes.
This was a Whedon scene.
Yes.
Batman's very serious, except for these couple of scenes where, these were Joss Whedon scenes.
Yep.
The scenes where Superman's mouth is a video game mouth.
Which was most of them.
Many of them.
Like, how much did they have
and
to
sometimes
reshoot
it was like
75%
in the middle of the scene, you could tell it switched over to...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
They open with the digitally...
Yeah.
The first time I saw this movie, I thought, did Henry Cavill have to reshoot absolutely everything he did? Like, what was that character in the Zack Snyder movie? Because
it looked like at least once in every scene
time.
There was, you could tell they had done reshoots.
Yeah.
And it seems to me, I guess we'll get into this later, but it seems to me that whatever they were doing digitally to take the mustache out, it must have been easier to have his mouth smile.
Yeah.
Because there's a lot of him smiling, sometimes inappropriately
And it looked like his whole mouth was CG at some point. Like, there's one point where, one point actually creeped me out when he's like hugging Lois. In like the field, and his mouth does this weird thing where his like lip goes like way down. It was like the creepiest thing.
Yeah.
It was like, oh my god, that was bad.
It's now we're getting really ahead. Like the mid credit scene, his mouth looks crazy in that. I mean,
that I looked at that and I thought, oh, this is just the mid credit scene. They did not put as much money into this as the rest of the movie.
Yeah, they went cheap on that one.
I liked the mid-credit scene.
It was funny. Yeah, it was funny in its own way. I thought this movie, like, it's so straightforward. Like, it almost, like, part of the reason it's better is just because it's so simplistic. It has about the complexity of, like, a mid-run NCIS episode.
Yeah. I like about it. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's kind of how, in my head, like, superhero movies were, like, in the 90s or early 2000s. It was just a simple... bad guy, good guys, you know, like Batman versus Superman got so complex where it's like, like Chrissy watched the director's cut that was like 3 hours or whatever, and it still
talking about blacking out.
Yeah, yeah. And it still didn't make any sense. It's like just
it made
simple,
less sense.
Yeah,
it's
simple, quick story.
I was
glad to see it was under 2 hours.
It was under 2 hours.
That made me happy.
Well, it's really, I mean, it's actually well under 2 hours because the credits,
credits
were 10 minutes long, so it's actually like, I think, an hour 49,
which is pretty tight. Yeah. For a movie like that, definitely.
Yeah, yeah, and it's in a handful of compliments I'll pay this movie. For DC, this might not have been the worst thing to make a fairly simplistic movie, given
and
how badly things had been going.
Some
except
actual
for
fun moments and
That's one of the things I found frustrating about this. I thought it was a crappy movie. Again, better than Man of Steel.
Doesn't take much.
But exactly. You set the bar low enough.
Yeah.
And there were scenes and moments I really liked. And then 5 seconds later, it's just like,
Yeah. Well, it's like the Suicide Squad kind of thing where it's the same. Yeah. They can't figure out the tone.
Yeah.
They want to be dark, but then they're like, well, we have to do some fun because Marvel, and that's successful. And
I also find it interesting how DC handles backstories because, you know, Batman does not need a backstory, yet in Batman versus Superman, they spent way too much time on his backstory. Whereas somebody that doesn't necessarily read a lot of comics or watch the CW show like me, I could use a backstory for Flash.
Yeah, I didn't really think about Flash.
And all we got was, I guess I got struck by lightning.
Yeah. And this Flash, I believe, isn't at all related in any way to the CW Flash.
I feel like that's why they didn't want to, almost, because I felt like, this is, boy, I'm doing my two big compliments in this movie, I'm doing right up front. I liked what they did with the Flash character, because it's a dramatic shift on just about any other version I've seen. And I think they were almost like, afraid to lean too far into his backstory because it's directly in contrast to what they're doing on the current CW show.
I could have used a little bit more.
Yeah. Like,
I was kind of glad they didn't, because that would have, for me, it would have slowed the movie down.
But it doesn't necessarily have to be a whole flashback. Right. Just a couple more lines of, you know, that it was a very offhand explaining Speed Force, which I have no clue what that is.
And it did come in fairly late. I mean, like at least midway through.
For me, I don't watch a lot of superhero movies or read comics, so I didn't really care. I was just like, okay, this is a guy who can run really fast.
Yeah. I find it the difference between giving Batman, half a movie, practically.
Yeah.
Batman, backstory. Who, by the way, I felt was the worst character. Well, worst of the hero characters.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
I came to the realization this morning thinking about it. I'm actually pretty okay with most of the characters and how, like, okay, you need a couple tweaks here. Even Cyborg, who I'm still not sure what they're trying to do, like, they can be fixed. Get a different Batman.
Well, I felt like this was almost a prep to get rid of him. I mean, Ben Affleck doesn't look like he wants to be there.
No.
Like, he looks like he is, like, getting out of this movie. Yeah, Bruce Wayne doesn't want to be there. I
like that they kind of made him useless, and they kind of referenced that a few times, like, what's he going to do?
Yeah. Like, what's your superpower? I'm rich.
Yeah. I laugh later, we'll get to it later on, but the one scene where, like, I think it was when Superman comes back, and they all get there, like, instantaneously, because they're superheroes, and, you know, this thing happens, and I'm like, I will laugh really hard if Batman comes in out of breath, like he just ran there, and they did that, and I was like, that is awesome to me, because it's just like, he's useless. They're all, like, flying around, zipping around, and he's just, like, running, you know, like a human.
Yeah, and there's Aquaman at one point does have a funny line when he's, like, listing his grievances. Yeah. He looks at Batman, he's like, that guy doesn't even have powers.
I like that stuff.
All right, so we'll start into it. It starts with mustache removed. Superman doing a podcast interview, which for a second I thought back to our time and our interactions with the Henry Cavill fan club, and I got real nervous for a second. But
Henry Cavill,
this scene had to have been a reshoot because again, it's got the mustache stuff. But I'm like, what was the point?
Well, yeah, I was at the end because what happens is because
otherwise you don't see Superman till like
I think that's it. But so the scene is like he's just gotten done saving some kids from a burning building or something, and these other kids come up with a cell phone and they're like interviewing him, and you see it through the cell phone. I thought it was interesting.
Video, by the way, awful.
Yeah.
Always shoot your cell phone video horizontally.
Yeah. I thought it was interesting because it's like, okay, it seemed more like Superman, you know, in the past two movies he's so brooding and he looks so miserable about saving people, where this time it felt more like Superman, where they're like, oh, Superman, you know, can we talk to you? He's like, yeah, sure, kids, you know, he's talking to him and smiling and everything, and it felt more like a Superman.
Yeah, Superman suddenly has a sense of humor in this movie.
Yeah.
It's the first time he's felt like Superman.
Suddenly is the key word. Very like, whoa.
But what drove me crazy about the scene was at the end the kids asked, like, what's your favorite thing about Earth, and he's kind of thinking for a second and then he like smiles and then it cuts away. So I thought, like, okay, they're going to come back to that at the very end. They'll show the end of that or something, and it'll be like, oh, hope or something, and they just never come back to it.
Yeah.
That was what was kind of weird about that to me. But
yeah, it did, yeah. And it's, we kind of get this scene with, then we cut to a scene with Batman, and this is a real confusing and kind of choppy scene where he's going up against this, like, robotic killer moth thing, and he's also, he catches a thief who's breaking into a building, then uses the thief as bait for a giant robotic killer moth.
Mm-hmm.
and like fights with this robotic killer moth. And then it comes back somehow to the building where the thief is, who's now super chatty, you know, and is like, wow, Batman, oh, is it? Are these killer moths around because they know he's dead?
Yeah.
And Batman's talking with him, and I want to be like, what? Why are you talking like, with him?
That is one of the most intelligent characters in the movie. They should just kind of help. Yeah. Part of the Justice League now.
Yeah. I mean, he asks more insightful comments and provides more exposition than, you know, a lot of other people in this movie. Yeah.
He has just as many superpowers as Batman does, too, so.
He does. He does. And then we kind of get a setup scene for Wonder Woman, a scene that confounded me. And I like Gal Gadot a lot, and I really like Gal Gadot in this role, but this scene was mystifying to me because I kept it in my notes where I'm like, what are her powers again? Because this scene seems to claim she has, like, all the powers.
Yeah,
I feel like her and Cyborg both just kind of had whatever power was convenient at the time.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like situational superpower.
Yeah.
Yeah. She seemed to be as fast as the Flash.
Right.
As strong as Superman.
Yeah, she can fly, right? Yeah.
Yeah, and then Batman's gadgets. And it was like, well, wait, what? Because she never shows super speed at any other point in this movie, or I don't think in her movie. But she does here.
Yeah.
And it's like, what? I don't... I
kind of felt bad for The Flash, because, like, she had super speed, Superman had super speed. It's like, what's he even...
Yeah. Talk about useless. I mean, at least Batman's rich.
Yeah.
Yeah. I just... Yeah, this...
He eats all the pizza.
That right. is a superpower.
Yeah.
He does my eat a lot.
He eats pizza, doesn't gain weight. That's the power I want.
Absolutely.
Yeah. We see Batman recruit Aquaman. DC making an interesting choice in this universe, as my friend pointed out. Aquaman is clearly the Wolverine of what they want to be the Wolverine of the Justice League.
Mm-hmm.
With some success, I guess, mostly.
I mean, I expected to totally hate Aquaman. Like, I thought it would be pointless to have Aquaman, but he was one of the better characters for me in the movie.
This movie
Even though he didn't spend much time in the water.
He's almost never in the water. This movie is very well cast.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we could make fun of a lot of things with this movie. I thought the casting of this movie all the way through was fantastic.
Yes.
But then they don't let them do much.
Yeah. I was going to say, because, I mean, obviously you have to have Lois Lane in this movie, and she comes back later. But she is complete. We'll get to it, but she is useless to even have in this movie.
Yes.
She has no role in this movie.
Yes.
And then
But we'll get it, because I had
And then you have, who was it who was playing Gordon?
Oh, J.K. Simmons.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's like, he was, like, to have someone like that play Gordon, he didn't do anything. He was in two scenes. It was just.
I feel like that
a little useless.
Almost like a cameo to be like, so when we see him in a Batman movie.
Right.
Yeah.
But it still feels, because you don't know if that's going to happen down the road. In my head, that doesn't happen. And it's just like, okay, he was useless as, or wasted as Gordon, but.
Yeah, it made me, as I was watching it, I thought back to many years ago of Billy Dee Williams in the first Batman movies, where you're like,
he's going to be too
fast. Are we going to see him again? And then it was like, no, we are not. We are not going to see him. And I was like, I hope they don't do that to J.K. Simmons.
Right.
And we get this kind of Flash intro story of Flash is now a kid. His dad seems to be a wrongfully convicted.
Well, yeah, this is some of the stuff like Chris was saying where you don't get the backstory. So this is the stuff I wish I had more backstory with.
Yeah.
Because someone was just like, oh, his dad's in jail for murdering his mother, but he says he didn't do it.
He says he didn't do it.
He says his father didn't do it. So he's always
preserved. Is there a Flash movie in the works?
There is.
Okay.
There is.
That's because that was one thing I wasn't sure of. Because that certainly seemed like, you know, yeah, we're going to get that backstory
probably,
of this Flash movie.
Yeah.
That's what's infuriating about them rushing Justice League before all those other movies. Is like, I don't know any of this.
Yeah.
I just don't know. This is the first time I ever see Aquaman except for that scene in Batman vs. Superman where he's fighting whatever under the water.
The press package?
Yeah.
The quip collection?
Right.
Well, and Cyborg really felt like he needed his own movie.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, as I was watching it, there has to be another version of this script or even another version of this movie that has a lot more with him. Because there's several times during it where things happen where I was like, wait, what? Like, that doesn't... You're assuming that we all understand something, but that is not... has not been set up by this movie at all. And he's... I guess we can get into Cyborg's story. So he... And it's... They kind of delved this out in bits and pieces, but he was a high school kid who had an accident. His dad works at Star Labs, which is like the I don't know, the secret research agency like of DC Oscorp. Comics. Yeah. Yeah. And used some tech, some top secret tech they had to make him into basically like a partial Terminator.
Was it from the Kryptonian ship or was that?
Yeah. No, they had.
He had some Kryptonian.
It was found, the mother box was found buried during World War I, but the British didn't know what to do with it. That comes way later.
And then I
wasn't listening at that point.
Then it like became active or something after Superman.
Okay, because there was some Kryptonian something or other that kept him out. But I didn't. Yeah. That stuff I didn't even catch it towards the end. But
yeah, I can tell you, I was glad to see that after two movies, General Zod's ship is still as insecure as ever. Yep. Come on in, anybody.
Yeah. Right.
It's an open door policy on a Kryptonian ship that, by the way, has almost destroyed the planet multiple times.
Well, at least this time they actually kind of had to fake through security. This is another one of Cyborg's, you know, I can do this right now because it's convenient that he hacked the security system.
Mm-hmm. Right, right, right. Yeah, it's just I laughed that that ship is still the center of like the
story. It's just got like some walls around it. That's it.
Yeah. That's it. Yeah, pretty chill.
You think they would have tried to
kid,
like
you're
move
not
it?
Supposed to be. Yeah, forget it.
At one point, a major security breach is determined by a custodian.
Yeah.
Okay.
So going back a bit because that's kind of further on, but going back a bit, so. This Steppenwolf, is it?
Yeah. I'm not that... Maybe Nick is more familiar. I'm not that familiar with this character.
I had never heard of this character before the news started coming out about this movie. Mm-hmm. I've been reading comics for almost 30 years. And I know a lot more about Marvel than DC, but this is a Justice League movie.
Yeah,
your big tentpole franchise for what you're trying to do, right? You're going to bring in a villain. I understand you don't want to do Darkseid first time out. We're going to go with Steppenwolf.
Yeah.
Who?
Yeah.
The band? That's like Magic?
Was, no,
Magic Carpet Ride?
That's what I was saying. Yeah. There's many options in the DC universe that would have been superior.
Any option, I think, would have been.
Well, and my
the calculator.
Yeah. Calendar Man. Yeah.
That would have been great.
Yeah.
My issue with it is, first off, I didn't know who the character was, but I don't read comics, so it's
nobody.
That's not surprising.
I didn't know who it was.
I didn't either.
Yeah, which that makes it even better. But also that it's a full CGI character for your main villain just bothers me.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Like, to no end.
Well,
That looks like he just walked off of the Asylum Films version of Lord of the Rings.
Basically, yeah.
Yes.
So,
yeah.
Well, and it's another comic book movie supervillain who has an army of faceless, alien... drones that can attack things, which is just like, oh my god, like it feels like all of these movies, like Avengers movies, are filled with these things.
That was Suicide Squad, too, right?
It was Suicide Squad, too, and like it just we're constantly seeing teams of superheroes fighting like
with
faceless drones and a beam coming out of the sky. Like,
I will say this is an example where I feel like DC does sort of learn from some of the complaints, because I remember Suicide Squad thinking, are those people actually... Are they already dead? Or when they're killing these faceless villains, are they killing the civilians that were turned into them? So this time they made sure to say they come back as the demons. So they already died. You're fine with that. They're dead.
Right.
So you're not killing innocent people.
Right. Right.
Have to make that very clear in a DC movie that we're not slaughtering whole towns.
And we're going ahead a little bit, but I was also troubled by the fact that Steppenwolf's backstory in this movie... is literally the Lord of the Rings. I mean,
oh my god, yes.
I mean, to the point where if the Lord of the Rings score came in for a couple of notes during a flash part,
the armies of man combined with the Atlanteans,
know, you'd be like, okay, like,
and look, there's a Green Lantern cameo right here, and. Now the tribes have met,
I thought that was ballsy to bring back the Green Lantern.
That was a gutsy call.
I had completely forgotten about that.
Second best Green Lantern cameo of the month.
Oh, yeah. I had completely forgotten about that. So when I turned on the movie just the other day to watch it for this, and they do the like how Marvel goes through all of its characters in the opening logo kind of thing. And this one did Batman, Superman, Wonder Woman, and Green Lantern. And I was like, what? Yeah. Really? That's what you're going to put in there? Because I had completely forgotten that there was that cameo. But they
pretty
didn't
sure
put
they're not getting
the
Ryan
Flash
Reynolds
and,
back.
You know.
Yeah, I have to he's on to much bigger and better things at this point.
Really?
Yeah.
What's that?
Yeah. It was so shameless. And the scene in the flashback where they show Steppenwolf being defeated was like, guys, you're just straight up lifting shots from the Lord of the Rings.
Yeah.
I mean, luckily these are all made by Warner Brothers, so I guess nobody can sue anyone. Yeah. But this is, you're not even hiding it well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So Steppenwolf comes and he starts stealing these mother boxes that are like have been split up into different realms or whatever. And Batman feels the obligation to like get this team together, and because he feels responsible for Superman's death, and Superman could easily stop this, so yeah. He's trying to get this Justice League together.
By the way, spoiler: Superman does easily
really
stop this,
easily.
Which is why it was kind of good he was dead most of the movie. Because like, well, that's why I always never liked Superman, because he's just too powerful for me. It's just like he can literally just punch this guy.
And Steppenwolf in these early scenes is literally unstoppable.
Yeah,
unstoppable. Right. I mean, armies of Amazonians. And other people, I mean, they are just like bugs to him. And as I'm watching this, I'm like, where are they going to go with this? Because this guy seems completely omnipotent.
Yeah.
I mean, how do you destroy a character who is unstoppable and who at a moment's notice can just teleport to another dimension?
Right. Yeah.
And I'm like, okay, well, it's, you know, that's also never really answered.
Yeah. They... And what is he actually going to another dimension? Is he just going back to his ship? Is he going to space?
Yeah, they never said that.
I don't
None
know.
Of that
I
makes
don't
sense.
Know. Yeah, he may have been going to 7-Eleven. Like, we just don't...
He's just down the road.
You know what? I now think he was going to an IHOP. You know? Yeah, and so Batman's kind of collecting...
Yeah, so that's where you get these, like, the little backstories of each of these guys. And I like that he's kind of having a tough time getting them together. And it's like the team at one point is just, like, three people. And
I really liked that scene with Bruce Wayne and the Flash, where he's recruiting him. It's maybe the best scene in the movie because it's very funny.
All of my favorite stuff in this movie was the Flash.
Yes.
Like everything he did, I loved. And so that scene was great because I'd seen that scene before. I think they showed it as like a preview, but Batman goes to the Flash's like little weird apartment.
Yeah.
And he's like going to give him this whole speech about like, you know, we need to stop. But before he can really say anything, the Flash is like, yeah, man, let's do this because I need friends.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I mean, that stuff's good. I like Batman, this movie. I liked, you know, he had more humor. Like, them working together or together kind of worked for me. Him and the Flash.
My problem with Batman's humor is for so much of the movie, it's just Ben Affleck playing constipated. And so the three or four times he does make a joke, it's just like, it's unearned and wildly out of the character
kind of
established.
But I kind of like that they're kind of slowly bringing that back.
I really feel like the jokes were Whedon shots.
Absolutely.
And therefore, that's why Superman suddenly has a sense of humor, and so much of it is CGI mustache because those are all Whedon. Like, everything that was funny in this movie, I'm just assuming, was Joss Whedon.
Yeah. Like, I like that scene where Batman awkwardly asks Aquaman if he really talks to fish.
Yes.
Or he's like, can you put you do talk to fish, right? Like, the way that was delivered, like, that kind of stuff I love.
Being someone who doesn't read the comics, I was curious about that, actually. Because my first thought when Aquaman was introduced was, you know, he gives fish to villagers, and my first thought was, wait a minute, doesn't Aquaman talk to fish? Is he, like, serving up his friends to people?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, he doesn't actually talk to fish.
That scene with Batman and Aquaman, I had a note here where I'm like, oh, this is 100% Whedon.
Oh,
like, there's no way this scene came from Zack Snyder.
Yeah.
Let's talk a little bit about Amy Adams. Who comes into movie, and before I start hacking this up, I do want to say I like Amy Adams, and I think she is a victim of this script and a victim of a problem.
I mean, I liked her in the first
franchise.
They just didn't have anything for her, you know, because I feel like all her stuff might have been shot in like a day, maybe a day and a half.
It might have been. Well, I think I realized as I was watching it, oh, they have to have Amy Adams in this because no other character in the cinematic universe has actually really had a meaningful interaction with Superman.
Mm-hmm.
What, I don't even know if Superman knows Wonder Woman's name The rest of the Justice League, they've never talked to him. Right. Batman and Superman actually had it's a weird thing. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, oh, so they need Amy Adams because she has to be the, and I'm doing air quotes, like the emotional heart of this movie. But she's also not really in enough of the movie to be the emotional heart of a movie. Yeah.
When she fulfills that role, she's gone from the movie.
She's gone.
Yeah, when she convinces Superman to do what he has to do,
cut her off at the knees when she does show up, because one of the things she says is, yeah, I just couldn't do real news stories anymore.
Yeah.
Oh, her arc.
Her arc
is insane.
Okay, so
yeah,
you take one of the most badass characters DC has that isn't an actual, you know, superpowered person, and then just totally negate them.
Well, and also one of the most independent, strong female characters that DC has, and then essentially say, once Superman died, this independent, strong woman was like, oh, I'm just thinking about my dead boy. And it's like, well, no. Like, that's really undercutting what is a pretty... I don't know. There's a lot more to Lois Lane than just being Superman's girlfriend.
Yeah.
But this movie wants us to believe, oh, that's really all there is to
once
her.
He's gone, she's...
Yeah, there's nothing. Useless.
Yeah.
They also subject her to the most awkward joke in... the entire movie.
With Diane Lane?
Yes.
Yeah.
That was just,
what was it now?
The thirstiest reporter.
The thirstiest
reporter. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, that's her mother-in-law, essentially. That moment was not funny at all. I sat there cringing. It was not funny.
And a lot of this is made worse by Amy Adams, either Amy Adams or Zack Snyder or Joss Whedon, somebody's decision for her to play all of her scenes on a scale of 1 to 10, her energy is clocking in at about a negative 42.
Yeah.
And it's a bizarre choice that makes things even a bad situation even worse. I mean, she is sucking the life out of the scenes that she's in. When another reporter pops in on a conversation between Diane Wayne and Amy Adams, he briefly interjects life into a scene that was dead. I don't understand that choice. And I like Amy Adams a lot. She was put in an impossible situation, but
I think that, like you said, they felt like they had to have her in the movie, and they just did it in the most kind of lackluster way they could have.
Yeah, and it's a victim of like, well, yeah, maybe you should have established some of these other characters, so bringing Superman back to life would have been more meaningful for some of them. I still don't think Superman and Aquaman have had a conversation, even as this movie's over.
I think the Lois Lane part could have been much better, honestly, just by taking out that scene with Diane Lane.
Yes.
And just having her be the big guns and come out and make her first appearance.
Yeah. Yes.
In that moment.
I agree.
And have that be more of a surprise and, you know.
Agree.
I think that would make her much more impactful in this movie.
I agree.
That would have
been a better way to play it.
Yeah. Or even if, like, the opposite of what you were saying, where she's like, I can't do the real stories. If she was trying to do more of that kind of stuff to bring more light to trying to kind of fill like some of the shoes that Superman had with what she could do as a human, you know.
Yeah.
Because what I kind of liked about this movie was like, now that Superman's gone, everything's really going to hell. They show like crime is getting crazy and stuff. And if she was somehow had a role in that, trying to fight that as a human reporter, something more with her character. But yeah, it was just wasted.
That would have been good. Yeah. So the movie goes into one of the strange things about Cyborg, and I can't remember if this is the Cyborg from the comics or not, if he has this, but his suit is doing upgrades out of his control. Mm-hmm. So things are happening, and like his suit just starts magically sending him video surveillance of Bruce Wayne.
Yeah, that was weird.
And I was like, oh, okay.
This was one of the moments where I say, you know, he's got whatever power is convenient, because his suit was scanning audio.
Yeah.
And heard his name, so that's why it sent the stuff from Bruce Wayne. But it was like Batcave security video, which later Bruce Wayne makes a comment that he spent millions on security. Like, how... You'd think there would be some sort of firewall or some sort of security that he couldn't necessarily just get this video, but he hacked security systems later on, too, so...
There were multiple points in this movie where I thought, oh, they're not even really trying to hide his identity for his sake. Like, it's just, it seems like the easiest thing in the world for
everybody knew that Bruce Wayne was Batman.
Like, he goes to the dry cleaner and goes, yeah, I'm here to pick up my bat suit.
Basically.
Here you go, Mr. Wayne.
Yeah, because plenty of people just call him Bruce Wayne, like, as Batman, knowing as Batman or vice versa.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Everyone knows.
Yeah. I would also say Jeremy Irons is again awesome in this movie. I mean, he's not it a lot, but he just
that character still bugs me.
Oh, really?
It's still I don't know why.
This version of Alfred, or
yeah. I don't know why. There's something about it.
It's a bold take. I like it. I mean, it's sort of a snarky Alfred, which is different.
I like it because it definitely strikes me as an Alfred that's been stuck with helping him with the Batman stuff for 20 years.
I like how
he's just sick of it.
Yeah, like, I like how he plays the character. I just about the character, what they did with him. I'm just not a fan of for some reason.
I say, kill off Batman at the very beginning of the next one, and Jeremy Irons just kind of works.
They're probably about the same age, though.
Here's a dumb question, and maybe the movie answered it, and I missed this. How does Steppenwolf know where two of the three mother boxes are?
They never really go into that. He just kind of shows up and is like...
He just shows up and takes two of them, and then seems confounded to where the third one is.
He also has plot convenient powers.
Yeah.
But they're calling to him.
Okay. But the third one doesn't seem to be, right?
No.
Like,
they only do it one at a time.
So. Yeah. I have a whole problem. The mother boxes are awful, in my opinion, in all ways. When it comes to something like this, I often think of, I think it was Mission Impossible 3, where they just don't even bother to make up the stakes. You know, the rabbit's foot, they literally say, I can't remember what their actual line in the movie, but they literally say, like, well, we don't know what it does, but it's really bad.
Right.
And I say, you know what? I give props to that movie for not trying to make it up. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Just, this is going to be bad, so let's just go with it. Whereas then you get something like this that try to make it a world-ending device, but I still don't understand what they do.
They really just said it that they are power. Like, when you get them together, just destroy worlds.
No, they don't contain power.
They are power. They are.
One of the dumbest lines.
Yeah.
And I think Christy's right. This movie falls right in the level of, like, they don't either adequately explain it or just leave it alone. They're right in the perfect zone of, like, we're telling you just enough for this to seem stupid.
Yeah.
You know?
Yep.
Yeah. And we get this kind of... He takes the Atlantis box, which then is really... The pacing is really crazy. So there's this huge fight scene of, like, he comes in, like, beats up all these people, takes the mother box from Atlantis. Then Aquaman comes in. Then we get a bunch of weird exposition on his backstory, and it's like, what the heck? He just beat all these guys up, and now you're deciding to talk about events from, like, probably decades earlier?
And I thought it was weird that, like, these aqua people, like, have to create, like, an air bubble so that they can talk to each other within the air bubble.
Yeah.
You don't have another way of communicating when you're underwater creatures? Just that seemed...
That seemed weird. Yeah, that, like, did seem weird.
We have to have them talking, so.
Yeah.
I said I could have used a little more backstory on The Flash. Really, I could have used some explanation of Aquaman. Like, I get, he's the son of the queen, but she left him with a human father, I'm assuming, because I don't really know. But that's all. Like, none of his stuff makes any really sense to me.
I would agree. They definitely should have sat on this until an Aquaman movie. If you're going to do this... Yeah, this is another one where they either didn't do enough or they should have done nothing because this scene feels totally out of place.
If he's never been there, how does he know to get there? How does she know who he is? Like, it makes it seem like he's never had any interaction with these people because she says, oh, you finally come back. But I still don't
understand it. Yeah. I actually went back and watched it again. And I still didn't understand what was happening.
And one of the things, just because it reminds me here, that I didn't like about this movie, and it was kind of a problem with Batman vs. Superman 2, is that all the fight scenes are CGI, and it looks like a video game. It's not good CGI, but, like, that's why I understand it's underwater, it's mermen, whatever, but...
But, oh no, all the fights.
Any fight. It's either really bad CGI or really bad green screen. Like, later on, like, the final fight, when they're, like, Aquaman and someone else, like, Cyborg or somewhere, like, flying around, and it was, like, really bad, just green screen.
Which adds up to...
It always took me out of the movie.
It takes you out because gravity and physics don't seem to apply to anyone's movement in this movie.
In that scene, I know it's dumb, but they're, like, flying through the air and, like, flying on, like, a transport thing, and they're just talking, having a conversation, like, flying through the air. There's no wind noise. They don't have to yell to hear each other. It's just like...
Yeah.
Like, they're sitting in a quiet room, basically, but...
I thought of that, too. I'm like, well, that's pretty convenient. I guess it was a quiet... Luckily, it was a quiet day on the green screen set, and the fan wasn't on too loud. Right. Yeah. Now, what's the worst movie we've seen that's set at an abandoned Russian nuclear power plant? Is it this movie, or is it Live Free or Die Hard?
I have to go Live Free or Die Hard.
Yeah, Live Free or Die Hard.
It is worse, but as soon as I started seeing, like an abandoned Russian nuclear plant, I just was having, like, it should have said, like, trigger warning for people who have seen Live Free or Die Hard. We're going to be better than that, but only a little. Yeah. I forgot that Danny Elfman scored this movie too.
Did he really?
Because
I remembered every time Batman showed up and they played the 89.
I thought I was going crazy because at one point when he goes,
I didn't realize he scored the movie
when they had the bat signal and they played that theme. I was like, did they just? I didn't know Danny Elfman scored it, so that makes sense. But yeah. I thought they just straight up just like, hey, remember the old Batman movies? Okay. That were good?
Yeah.
I would like to take back some of the anger I had last night then when I'm like, oh, calm down.
Yeah.
Okay, because that makes more sense. Okay.
Since it was Danny Elfman scoring it, I am okay with like pulling that back. But it was like...
So wait, Danny Elfman scored it. There were a bunch of crappy cover songs in this movie.
Yeah.
Nobody did...
No Oingo Boingo?
Exactly. You're bringing back Superman to life. You don't do a cover of Dead Man's Party?
Yeah, absolutely. What's going on? I would have loved that.
Yeah.
That's a good idea.
It's not bad. Exactly. Yeah, yeah.
No, we open with a bad cover of Everybody Knows. Mm-hmm. No Oingo Boingo.
Damn. Yeah.
What the hell?
You know what I also thought? I have this note. This just reminded me of this. Ben Affleck is doing whatever he is in here, but it also his performance felt very Ed Burns-y to me. Do you know what I mean? There was something very Ed Burns about this performance.
We haven't talked about Ed Burns in a while.
I know. It had like the no energy of Ed Burns and just sort of like the I'm just phoning it in, kind of like I'm mostly phoning it in. Although there's I'm talented, but you're watching a talented person phone in stuff.
It's funny to say because now that the one weird thing about this movie was whenever it was just Bruce Wayne talking to someone, it just always felt like they're on a set. And I think it was because of the way he was acting. He was just like he just showed up to set that day. It felt like removed from everything else. Sort of like, yeah, we gotta stop this guy and find this person.
He used the Batman voice as Bruce Wayne, which also really bothered me throughout. I'm like, okay, you can't even be understood when you talk like that.
Yeah. Yeah.
My husband laughed at me. He's like, why do you have the subtitles on? I said, because they mumble.
There was one line he said that I couldn't understand. I didn't bother putting the subtitles on, but I was like, it was like when he was shaving, he said something about his
coat. Yeah, that's exactly when I turned the subtitles on.
Yeah,
the line was, might not have even been his coat, come to think of it. Or something like that. Might not have even been his coat.
World's greatest detective, I tell you.
Well, and I laughed at that because he put this homing device, whatever, in Aquaman's coat and then was surprised when he took his coat off to get in the water.
Yeah.
And so, like, why would he wear his coat to swim away?
I also felt like Ben Affleck and Henry Cavill both may have approached a lot of this movie like every day they came to set being like, I want to make sure I don't end up as a meme. You know what I mean? like a lot of it is almost like prevent defense in a way of being like,
then when
I'm going to do this, but I'm going to make sure that I'm not doing anything that's meme worthy.
Henry Cavill must have been disappointed when he found out he had that CGI out of his mustache.
I'm sure. I bet he was like, I'll go shave the mustache. And probably Paramount was like, no, you will not. And he was probably like, oh, God.
That's pretty much what it was.
Yeah.
It would have been so much easier to just put a fake mustache on in Mission Impossible.
Yes.
I was thinking just have
Paramount
it.
Paramount
which I was gonna say, which Warner Brothers was willing to pay for it. They were going to write like a blank check to do that. And I think just to mess with them, Paramount was like, no.
It probably wouldn't look better just to have CGI and a mustache in the rest of his scenes for this movie. And just have Superman have a mustache.
Yeah.
The two shots of them that weren't reshoots.
Yeah, so. It was so funny to me because right after this movie, or right before the movie came out, Warner Brothers was still saying Zack Snyder was attached to be the Justice League 2 director, which was like, after everything, you just went through some of the most ridiculous, like, studio management foolishness ever involving reshoots, and you're going to say, oh yeah, the guy who forced us into this crazy situation, no, we're still on board with him. I mean, it's bananas.
They have a weird relationship with him. They just keep...
Yeah, I mean, it sounds like now.
But I can also see at that point in time, you don't want to look like you're abandoning.
That's true.
Someone who's going through such a rough family time.
That's true. That's true. Maybe they knew it, and they were just maybe they were just doing the decent thing.
Yeah.
As he was in a terrible family tragedy. Maybe. And maybe they deserve more credit for that. Yeah. When do we get to start
talking
about
the... Don't you feel bad now, Alex?
No, I don't, actually. Zack Snyder's
I totally brought it
he's
down.
He's a terrible filmmaker.
I don't mind that he's not going to be doing another one.
But. Yeah. I for a guy who at one point I really thought was the future of kind of like great studio filmmaking, I'm thrilled that maybe he will not be making big budget movies anymore.
Whenever I see a trailer that says, from visionary director, whoever, immediately I know it's going to be a bad movie.
Yeah.
If they have to call them a visionary director, it's going to be awful.
Because you think about the people who get that label, Zack Snyder, Tim, modern era Tim Burton.
Yep.
Who else would get that? Boy, I'm trying to think of, like, there's a couple others who would get it, but you're right, it's
the guy
always...
who did, and I can't remember who it is, I'm sorry, but Valerian?
Yeah. Oh, Luc Besson!
It was Luc Besson, that's
yes,
right.
Yes, he's another one who gets it, which is also like,
Uwe Boll.
Visionary director, Uwe Boll.
There's only one sign worse for a movie. It's when it says, brought to you from the producers.
Yeah. Yeah.
Brought to you by the caterer of...
Yeah, that's
brought to you by the people that wrote the checks for...
Yeah. Now, when do we get to start talking about my favorite characters in this movie? Russian family comes into this movie so awkwardly.
It's funny because I watched this movie last night. I watched it on my Xbox, so the internet must have known that I was watching it. Because I went on my phone afterwards, and this, like my Google feed or whatever, the first one was... Here's why there was a Russian family in Justice League. There's actually a quote from Joss Whedon that I'll read later, but
it was so. When they first cut to them, I'm like, what is going on? Why are we like just randomly meeting?
Do you want me to read the quote now?
I'd love to hear about it, because this also felt like it had to be reshoots. I think
It was a Joss Whedon thing. I think
it's so forced in. I think they had to have.
Okay, so it was called. It was called Here's Why There Was a Russian Family.
All right, well, Cody's... I think they must have been in editing or putting it together at some point and realized, like, oh, I mean, the stakes are world destruction, but we never see any just normal people in jeopardy because of the problem that when we have these superhero fights, superheroes are probably killing more people than they're saving. So they went too far in that direction, and it was like, oh, I don't know if there's any actual people in jeopardy in this movie. And they're like, get some people in jeopardy.
Basically, that's what it was. Yeah. So the article was called "Here's Why Justice League Had a Random Russian Family," and the quote from Joss Whedon is: "The only stuff we shot that really wasn't useful was stuff I shot. I shot probably 3 days in both films tracking. He's talking about Batman vs Superman, or I'm sorry, The Avengers. I think it was.
Yep.
I shot probably 3 days in both films tracking civilians because I was like, these guys have superpowers. Then they're the Avengers." Nobody's going to worry about them. The audience is going to want to know these civilians better. And the answer was always like, no, they don't. No, they fucking don't.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, it felt so tacked on. And it was also like, hey, this family's got bigger problems. They live, I guess, a quarter mile from an unsecured nuclear power site. Like,
I think the parademons are the least of their worries at this point.
And they don't seem that concerned. Because I think, as I joked to you guys on Facebook, it's... arguably days, they have a working vehicle, and goes on for days of parademons coming up to their windows, and they're like, oh no, should get in the truck and go.
And it would have been okay if they showed them like first when everything starts happening, so you see it from like a civilian's point of view, like, oh, okay, here's this family, they're in the hot, you know, this is danger, and then show them later on when they're escaping, and then Flash saves them. But they keep going back to it, where they're like, now they're getting their guns out and blockading the doors and stuff. And it was like, why do we keep seeing them?
Yeah, it's like we're trying to make them relatable, and they never feel relatable. They just always feel like a weird voyeuristic glimpse into like a sad like other life.
Yeah. I really felt like their entire purpose was to set up Superman and the Flash so that Superman could call the Flash a slowpoke.
Yeah.
And do the gag of, okay, you save them, the family, and I'll save that entire apartment building.
Right. They liked that joke so much that they were willing to, like,
the slowpoke thing, but when he's flying with the...
I liked that joke. But it just took way too much setup.
And it would have had the same impact. Like, we could have seen the Russian family once, or even just one shot of, like, a Russian family getting into a truck and being like, we got to get out of here.
Yeah.
It's all, it's real weird. So how does this break down? So Batman, so they get their butt kicked by Steppenwolf in a fight, which is kind of okay, but like no
bored.
Gravity, physics. And then Batman's like, I think we should try to bring Superman back to life.
Yeah, they have one of the mother boxes.
Right.
And Batman comes up with this scientific theory that like because Superman, his cells can't decay, he's stronger than a planet. These things can destroy planets, but he's stronger than a planet, and so he's probably still okay. So
yeah, Batman has a theory that like Superman might actually be able to be brought back to life. And we should mention, yeah, they have the third mother box, and Steppenwolf has the other two. Mm-hmm. And if you bring the three together,
right,
something happens.
Some kind of Lord of the Rings esque scenario happens.
Yeah.
Which then makes me go, okay, cool, Bruce Wayne, that you had this theory. But it's also believed that Lex Luthor may have had an idea of who Superman really was. So you were still fine with Superman just being buried in a normal cemetery, unsecured, believing, hey, that guy might still be alive.
Yeah.
You know?
And I loved, with all the stuff, the two things I loved was that the Flash keeps referring to it as a pet cemetery situation.
I did like that.
I was like, they're not actually going to show him digging up Clark Kent's grave, are they? And they Barry Allen or whatever and Cyborg digging up the grave.
In this movie doesn't look cheap, but that scene looked so cheap.
It had to have been an add-in. Yeah, it had to have been.
I think so. I kept thinking of Friday the 13th Part 6, which opens with people digging up Jason's grave. And I was stunned by, like, I think the opening of Friday the 13th Part 6 visually looks better than this, like, $250 million Justice League
movie. They must have wanted to get, because they were kind of trying to set up a friendship between the Flash and Cyborg. So I think they did that to kind of maybe get a little more.
Anywhere aside from that scene?
Yeah.
I don't remember it anywhere except.
There's like, little bits later on, like, during fights and stuff where they're kind of.
There was
the Flash is trying to make a friend.
I think they were trying to.
Flash trying to make a friend
it.
Makes yeah. sense, yeah.
Yeah. And but they also never really paid it off, which was weird, too.
But yeah, so they dig him up and they have to bring him to the Kryptonian ship, which is the same kind of the same thing that Lex Luthor did with Zod. And yeah,
it's exactly the same thing.
It's exactly the same thing.
Which is why Wonder Woman was like, you know, this might not be a good idea.
Yeah.
And that's this pet cemetery stuff came in. It's like, well, he could come back and be not himself or be
came back with a sense of humor.
He did, yeah.
Yeah.
He wasn't himself.
Yeah.
His suit was a little more blue, and he had a sense of humor.
And ship still unsecured. They just walk in and do this. And so it's this kind of like crazy sequence. If they put him in that pool and they drop... Somehow they know that by dropping the mother box in and having the Flash zap it with lightning at the same time, it's never really determined how they know situation. This is going to work. They're just
Cyborg ran the numbers.
Oh, that's right. He ran the numbers.
Bruce Wayne said the word science, and then Cyborg ran numbers.
Yeah. And then Superman is back, and I did kind of laugh. It was a pet cemetery situation. He's a little crazy.
Because he comes back. He's crazed. He like flies to where his monument was from Batman vs Superman, and it's all destroyed or whatever. And he's confused. And this is a scene where the Flash and Wonder Woman and Aquaman and Cyborg like zip right to there, and there's like a fight scene because he kind of goes crazy.
Right.
And that's where Batman comes running in all out of breath. And and Superman grabs him and he's like, I remember you. And he's going to kill him, basically. And that's where he comes back to the line, do you bleed? Like from the Batman or Superman.
Yeah.
Yes, because that's the line that you want to bring back.
I was hoping that they were just going to lean in on stupidity and be like, just have Batman be like, remember, both of our mother's names are Martha.
Martha. Martha, Martha.
That's a safe word. That's a safe word, Martha. Yeah. That's all I've got. It's at this point, our only bond.
Yeah. But instead, Batman brings in the big guns, which is Lois Lane.
His contingency plan, which is Lois Lane.
Why have that... dramatically, I get it. And like I said earlier, if that was the first reveal of Lois, that would be way more dramatic and all that. Mm. Logically, if I'm Batman... Why not just have her there from the start?
Right. What harm?
Well, they don't let reporters into the Kryptonian ship.
That's true. She didn't. Yeah. But you're right. I mean, at that point, she can only help the situation.
Yeah.
She can't hurt it. I mean, yeah. I don't.
It's just a lot to take in for a Superman.
It's true.
Yeah. So why not?
Batman's
just...
no master strategist.
No, apparently not.
Oh, he's definitely certainly not. Movies. He's certainly not, because when they all go to meet Superman at the monument, guess what? No one thought to bring with them the mother box.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, Steppenwolf was like, "I'll take this. Zoink! I've got it." Like, how did they leave this behind? No one was like, "Oh, we should bring that super powerful thing with us." But
Well, they trusted the security of General Zod's ship.
That's right. And there must have been another Joss Whedon moment here, because I laughed when, after Superman throws Batman to the ground and Batman's like writhing on the ground, he's like, yeah, something's definitely bleeding.
I laughed at that too.
That was funny.
Yeah, that was pretty good. So they fight Superman, and then Superman and Lois Lane take off.
Yeah, they go back to his...
to Kansas.
To his house, which has been foreclosed upon.
What a dumb storyline, though. That's just dumb. It doesn't need to be in the movie.
Served no purpose.
Except for the Bruce Wayne is rich joke at the end.
Yeah. It gets you one that was, like, just dumb.
Mm-hmm. Could have avoided the awkward conversation between...
take that conversation out, and the movie's much better.
Yeah. And there's a scene of Superman and Lois Lane talking, which, and again, Amy Adams is bringing nothing to this.
And this is her last scene. She has like a quick shot at the end, but this is her last scene in the movie.
This is her last scene, and it just, it's supposed to be an emotional scene, and I just sort of watched it like I was vaguely watching an episode of Law and Order. Like, it didn't do anything.
I don't know how long it's been since he died, but she hasn't seen him in, I'm assuming, at least a year, maybe. And, you know, if you're... boyfriend, fiance, husband, whatever, is dead for a year, and then all of a sudden he's like, oh, he's back. I know it's Superman, but still.
Well,
you gotta be like emotional about that.
As Diane Lane showed up, her reaction, I was like, that's more like what I would expect Lois Lane to do as well, because she actually has a genuine reaction to the fact that her son is back from the dead.
Yeah.
Right.
But Lois does not.
No.
She does not. Yeah, Diane Lane actually, in very limited screen time, she's also doing great work with nothing given to her. It's arguable that she actually does bring a little emotional weight to that. And again, they had to have these two in the movie. They're the only two who have a relationship with Superman. No one else cares about the guy.
He's kind of a jerk.
And he's kind of a jerk.
Yeah.
But now he's funny.
Yeah.
It's a funny jerk.
Yeah, he came back. People come back from the dead different. They come back more comedic.
And apparently itchy.
Yeah, and itchy. This is sort of a reverse Gandalf in the Lord of the Rings movies. So now the rest of the Justice League is off to Russia because they've somehow Cyborg identified that this abandoned nuclear
Cyborg ran the numbers.
So fortunately, for some reason, Batman has been working on like a transport carrier, like a soldier transport, like a troop transport carrier.
For five people?
Yes.
Yeah.
And so they have this thing, and he's like, how long is it going to take to get to Russia? And they're like, oh, it'll be like 5 hours or something. He's like, that's not fast enough. And Cyborg's like... or it won't fly that fast or something like that. And Cyborg's like, it will for me. I'm like,
do anything with it.
I'm just like,
they don't show him flying.
Right.
It.
Yeah.
Right. They don't show, and I'm also like, what does that even mean? So
right,
like,
there's still physics. There's still it can only go so fast.
It will for me.
So like, none of you watch most of the fights in this
movie. Oh, that's no physics.
Yeah.
Just turn the CGI on. We'll be okay.
Yeah. Cyborg's powers are like, in some ways he's like the voice in a video game where he's telling people what to do and where like magic information is revealed.
It's basically a time like, okay, now we're in an impossible situation. It's like, oh, well, I can do something.
Right. Yeah. Right.
It's like, our my crawling thing broke down. It's like, oh, I'll take care of it. You know?
I'll fix it. Yeah. Whatever. Yeah. He's like the ultimate IT guy. Anything is broken or needs upgrading. He's like, I got it. Yeah. You know? Yeah. Actually, he's the IT guy. A lot of people in offices think IT guys are like, anything is possible, and he can upgrade it to the point of insanity. Yeah,
should ask.
IT is magic, right?
If he had asked at some point, did you try restarting it? I'd be so happy.
Hello, IT. Yeah.
I deleted the file 4 weeks ago. Can you get it back for me?
Yeah.
4 weeks ago?
Yeah.
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 Click.
Yeah. So this is like Live Free and Die Hard is the second movie we've watched where the heroes show up to an abandoned nuclear power plant in Russia with no plan. There is no plan for how they are going to actually defeat him.
Well, apparently Batman's plan is to die.
Yeah, Batman's plan is to
die.
That's
always his plan.
And he doesn't give anyone else even that plan. So at that point, you're like, why'd you even bring the other four? If that was just, you know... This is, you had a troop carrier for a one-person suicide mission. Yeah. Great. Yeah. And we kind of, and the Russian family at this point now gets into their truck and drives off because they're like, okay.
Now we gotta leave.
Now we gotta, I mean, we'll deal with a lot.
The past few days have been fine, but now we gotta
go. This is too much. There's a water-based superhero here with a pitchfork. Now we've gotta go. Oh, and I forgot. There's another funny scene that the Lasso of Truth scene, which is pretty funny, where Wonder Woman lassos Aquaman, and he
did she actually lasso?
I think he was like, I thought he was just like sitting.
Yeah, I got the impression that he was just sitting on it,
or maybe he was sitting on it. Okay,
yeah.
Either way, it was funny, and Jason Momoa is funny in that scene. Yeah. That's got to be a Whedon scene as well.
Yeah,
and it's a funny good scene. I guess we haven't really talked about Gal Gadot. I mean, I couldn't figure out what they were asking her to do in this movie. Because Batman is so grumpy and Superman is rarely in the film, they kind of want Gal Gadot to be like the center of this movie. Like in some ways, she's like the audience's character. But she also seems mystified by what she's supposed to be doing and leans so heavily on Batman to actually do things. To the point where there's actually a scene where Batman's like, hey, can you make some decisions, please?
Yeah, he was trying to get her to be more of a leader or whatever, but... I didn't see it as her leaning on him so much. I don't know. Like, I think she was, like you said, like the moral center. Because when they want to bring Superman back, she's like, I don't know if that's a good idea.
But then they do it anyway.
Yeah. Well, Batman's kind of like, well, we don't really have a choice. Like, if we don't, the world's going to die.
So. Yeah. Well, and it's sort of a weird thing where he's...
She got moral, like, in the weirdest spots. So
she did. And, and they're kind of like, hey, be quiet, lady. Men are talking. We're bringing him back.
Pretty
much. Yeah. Yeah. Like, she is... It's just... I really like her in this part, and I like her as an actress, but she sort of just, like, floats through the movie. Sometimes literally. Not given, like, clear... It's not really totally clear what
feel. I mean, doing. I guess, yeah. Well, I didn't.
But she's so good in it that... I don't know.
Batman was also really mean to her.
Yeah.
I mean, the whole thing about going on and
he's
on about...
He's kind of a jerk.
I figured that out.
I think he was trying to get some response.
Get a response from her, okay. But also, I mean, he's talking about how she shut herself down for a long time. Yeah, but she also just fought at your side. And we see her save a bunch of hostages in a bank
situation. Oh, she was much more useful than he was.
So it's not like she's done nothing since Trevor died. Like, Steve Trevor, yes... You know, she was hung up on him and, you know, shut herself off for a while, but she's not sitting there doing nothing. She is still saving people.
Yeah.
And he was being a jerk.
I think, he went a little too far. But
he went too far.
I think what he was trying to do was...
Get her angry and, get her motivated.
I think he wanted her to, like, be the leader because I think he was like, I'm old. I'm going to quit soon.
I'm old.
I probably won't be in the next movie.
And Superman's dead, so I want you to be I want you to take more charge and lead. But he did go about it in a very rough way.
He just pulls her aside. Have you ever seen Lethal Weapon? You see, I'm too old for this shit.
He
basically does, because she says, like, you can't do this too much longer. And he's like, I can barely do it now.
That felt like the most real conversation. Yeah. Like, that might
have been just a behind the scenes.
That
like,
might have been Gal Gadot and Ben Affleck just talking about their careers.
So, your plan is to die 2 days from retirement.
All right, so now the Justice League are all kind of fighting Steppenwolf's bug robot monsters. Mm-hmm. Superman appears to be walking to Russia. I don't know.
He just shows up.
Steppenwolf is alternatively just kicking everybody's body. Actually rips Cyborg apart at one point. Like, nothing is working. And Superman just shows up and just, like... Because I was fascinated at this point of... How are they going to bring this all together? Because Steppenwolf seems impossible to beat. He's all-powerful. The Justice League is having... You know, what are they going to... How are they all going to come together to beat Steppenwolf? Which they don't. Superman just comes up, and he's a wicked good puncher.
Yeah. He just punches him through the earth, basically.
That's it.
This is one of those moments when... And this is... It's not just this movie. I feel like this happens in superhero movies a lot, where the powers or powerfulness of heroes varies wildly. Oh, yeah. Because so it was Aquaman and Wonder Woman both fighting Steppenwolf to no avail. Superman comes in, one punch, and he's gone. Flashback to Batman versus Superman. Superman and Batman couldn't handle Doomsday, but Wonder Woman seemed to hold her own incredibly well. Like, she seemed more powerful than Superman during that fight. And then this one, she and Aquaman can't handle what takes one punch from Superman.
Yeah.
Like, this is just a blatant, change in power. Lots of times it's a little more subtle than that. But it seems like superpowers are whatever's convenient. Right. Even if somebody has a specific set of powers that's already defined.
Well, let's talk about Superman. Well, you got your pre-crisis Superman. You got your... How much time we got?
Yeah. Well, and they really dust off, like, everything, because it sort of becomes like, we got to check boxes to show all of Superman's powers. Because I was putting my notes, I'm like, what are they going to show next? His frozen breath. Oh, no, they're showing his frozen breath. Yeah.
That was a bad effect.
Yeah, that was real bad. Yeah. That one was very, like, a guy had 8 hours on After Effects. Yeah.
That was bad.
They should have spent that time fixing the mustache.
Yes. The same guy, actually, I feel like the same guy who fixed the mustache for the mid-credit scene was also in charge of the frozen breath. I mean, basically, Superman beats Steppenwolf. The Justice League doesn't even, it's not even like the Justice League even helps. They're just kind of like also there in some ways.
They're occupying the minions.
At one point, Superman leaves the fight.
Yeah.
And then they're all...
And things get worse again, and they're like...
And then he comes back, he's like, okay, I'll take care of it now.
Yeah, because he knocks out Steppenwolf, then goes to separate the mother boxes, then goes back to actually get rid of Steppenwolf.
Well, and he saves the civilians, too.
Oh, that's right, you're right. He goes to save the civilians and then come back. Yeah, you're right.
And then...
Because I laughed, too, because Batman's like... We need you here. Like, thank God you're back. We can't do this on our own. We need you to do it. And Superman kind of looks off and he goes, civilians. And he, like, flies away. Yeah. It's like, well, now Batman's getting his ass kicked again.
Yeah. Batman should have been like, okay, hey, man, those, like, 8 Russian families, like, I know they're in trouble, but we're sort of talking about the end of the world here.
You killed half of Metropolis a couple years ago, I think. You know.
Yeah. So then and Steppenwolf doesn't even get beat. He essentially is like, you meddling kids, and gets back into his portal.
No, he gets
he gets scared.
He gets bitten by his own.
It's the Lion King villain death.
Yes.
Where he gets killed by his own minions.
Yes, that's right. Because
they smell fear. Yeah. So they attack him.
Suddenly this incredibly powerful character just loses his weapon and then he's done.
It's like Lost in Space. Oh,
you're right.
Spiders at the end.
Yes,
when
you're right.
Dr. Smith.
Yes, this movie stole this from Lost in Space. The Matt LeBlanc vehicle.
Classic 90s.
Well, I kind of thought that was interesting because that's one thing that happens in Disney movies all the time. The hero doesn't actually kill the villain. Either the villain's minions or his own actions result in his death. And that's what happens in this one. Like, this is a superhero movie. You can have your heroes destroy the villain.
I mean, Superman did snap Zod's neck.
Right.
Yeah.
But they went with the Disney, you know.
Right. Well, that's
and also true. That kind of like open-endedness of like, is he dead?
Is he really dead?
His hat did fall off.
Yeah. He's dead. Realistically, I was curious to see how they were then going to do, okay, the villain's dead, now we're going to just tick through, like, you know, how do we close out this movie? I wondered if Bruce Wayne was going to be like, I'm going to reopen this nuclear reactor or do something to help this, like, post-apocalyptic Russian neighborhood.
Well, now they have a bunch of...
buy a bank.
Yeah.
Now this Russian neighborhood has a bunch of really unique plant life.
That's right.
That was weird.
Yeah, that was weird. I was like, okay.
I'd be more worried about that.
Foreign plant life.
I wouldn't eat those berries. I'm not too sure about
that. When the Russian kid is like, yay! And I'm like, oh, I hope the plant doesn't eat her.
Yeah.
Batman should really spend some money on the security system for the Kryptonian ship.
Secure
that thing a little bit better, because
that's what he should really invest in. So they wrap up the Kent family house is saved because the storyline everyone was concerned with, the real estate transaction.
Mm-hmm. Why didn't he just buy the house?
It was an homage to the first Superman movie, Christopher Reeve. You know. It's all a real estate plot.
No, that's right. It's right. Lex Luthor's original plan was all about real estate. I forgot about that. The Flash's arc comes to fruition when he's like, Dad, I've got a job. I'm like,
but it's a job in a crime lab,
great,
so I can
I'm
help
still
you.
In prison.
Yeah. Yeah. I actually had to think, like, oh, yeah, that was sort of a thing he brought up. He didn't have a job. I'm like, glad we... And the Lois Lane one was crazy because she's like, I've remembered how to write well. I'm like, okay.
Now that my man is back, I can do my
job.
Yeah, I
have a life again.
Yeah. With a strong boyfriend at home, I'm back to remembering how to do the thing that I did before I knew him. Yeah, I was like, okay. And Joe Morton and his Terminator son are okay. Do you think they cast him because he was the Terminator connection?
Yes. I 100%
You have to think so, right? Like, if somebody was like, this should be Joe Morton, that would be, like, that movie's old enough that it will be a cool reference, but that nobody's going
to... All right, I have to admit, I've seen The Terminator once, but I don't remember Joe Morton in...
Terminator 2.
He's the guy who invented Terminator technology in Terminator 2.
See, I see him... Sadly, I see him as Olivia Pope's father on Scandal.
Oh, that's right.
So being a loving father was kind of a twist for
Yes, it turns out
Zack Snyder, huge Scandal fan.
That's right.
And that is the real reason why Joe Morton was cast.
Yes. Yes.
So I did like what they did at the end here where they were like, you know, the heroes can come out of the shadows. And they showed like Wonder Woman talking, like, you know, I think she was another bank robbery looked like that she had stopped and she was
because she wasn't doing that before,
right? But she had like she was like interacting with people. It wasn't like the Superman and was it Batman versus Superman where he like saves the village from the fire or whatever and he's all looking all miserable about it and it's all like didn't bleakly lit and everything. So I like that they kind of undid some of that and if they go on with the movies that hopefully would be more.
It's almost like. Clearly, they got a note where someone's like, do you remember that shot of Man of Steel where he's pulling the ship and looking like he's the most miserable person like, on the planet?
You're like,
can we get away from that, please?
And his suit was a little more blue. Like, they kind of upped the colors in this movie. Yeah. It wasn't as bleak and
they did
dark. And so I like that they went a little lighter with it and kind of brought it more towards a fun superhero movie.
It must have been really... Because I thinking of, like... And Superman's not in a lot of this movie... So if they had to do extensive reshoots with him, it must have been almost everything, I feel like. Because he's not really in it that much.
I mean, you can tell by the mustache. It's almost everything of his.
Yeah.
Even just the conversation with him and Lois in the field there outside the house, so that was all the mustache stuff. You could tell that was reshoots.
Yeah.
Most of it. There was maybe one or two shots, but it was like, did they like add the scene, or was it just terrible and they reshot it?
That's kind of pretty nuts if you're Henry Cavill and you essentially reshot every one of your scenes in this with a mustache.
Yeah.
I mean, that's real weird. Wow. And then there's this sort of... and they're going to build a Hall of Justice, you know, kind of, which was like, okay.
Which was that... That was Wayne Manor, wasn't it? Or is it supposed to be Wayne Manor? This is one of those things...
I don't know. I don't know.
I immediately thought that it was Wayne Manor post Batman Begins, when it gets burned down.
This is a different timeline.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know if it was.
I don't know.
Maybe he just lives in the Batcave, so Wayne Mansion is just in shambles, but.
That could be. That could be.
Yeah, that wasn't sure.
It's always been a little bit confusing to me if this is supposed to be post Christian Bale Batman or if this is a new.
Just totally separate.
In fairness, I think that's also confusing to Warner Brothers.
Yeah, because I feel like there are certain things they've said, and I'm forgetting it now, but I feel like there were certain things that were mentioned that seemed like to me it was supposed to be post Christian Bale, but then sometimes.
Yeah. And Christopher Nolan was like a producer on these ones too, so it's possible some of that carried. I don't know.
Yeah, yeah. And it's, you know, so that movie comes to an end, and there's this mid-credit scene of the.
I didn't see the mid-credit scene.
Oh, you didn't
I skipped
see
to
it?
The end because I figured there'd be an end post-credit scene.
Oh, okay.
But.
So in the mid-credit scene, the Flash and Superman are going to have a race to see who's faster, and then there's a genuinely funny joke where the Superman says to the Flash. Batman said that if I win, you have to take us all out to brunch.
I liked the Flash's reaction to that when he was like, oh man, that hurts.
Yeah.
I feel betrayed.
But if I win, I get to tell everyone.
It's a fun scene.
Yeah,
I missed that one. I just skipped right to that post scene, or the post credit scene, which was kind of ridiculous.
The post credit scene. Let's talk about that for a sec. Okay, so we do get to see. Jesse Eisenberg as Lex Luthor,
which I was hoping he'd just be left out of this movie completely, but
yeah. And the DC Comics character Deathstroke is coming onto his boat. This is a bold choice in a couple ways because I don't know if you guys have seen it, but the trailer for the Teen Titans Go to the Movies, the Teen Titans Go animated movie is coming out. A lot of the trailer is based... Deathstroke is the villain in that as well. And a lot of the trailer is based on jokes that no one knows who Deathstroke is. And they openly call him Deadpool. And he's like, I'm not Deadpool. I've been around for longer than Deadpool. And the character, the Teen Titans, like, okay, Deadpool.
And that's See, like, Deathstroke, I do know who that is.
Yeah.
Well, the first time I watched this movie, the second time I knew that it was not going to be... Or I knew it was a character I didn't know. But the first time I watched the movie, you know, they've got the shot kind of behind him... With the blades and the hood, I'm like, I thought Wait, Deadpool is Marvel. I'm confused.
I ran through that in my head too for a second.
I don't know if Marvel. I mean, Deathstroke is older than Deadpool, and there's a strong.
Well, Deadpool's like a ripoff of Deathstroke, isn't he?
Yes, he is. That's why Deadpool is Wade Wilson.
Because they didn't say Mr. Wilson.
Is Slade Wilson.
Yeah. Yeah.
Rob Liefeld has a history of going, I want to use this character. Oh, I can't? I'm going to rip off this character.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And down the line, eventually they decide, well, we're just going to make Deadpool funny.
Yeah.
Yeah. So. It took too long for people to realize that Rob Liefeld was pretty much a hack. And, you know, and things
well, Deadpool's doing well now, so.
Yeah. But like, and it puts DC in a tough situation because the character that Deadpool is based on is now way lesser known than the ripoff.
Well, yeah,
and
yeah.
It's kind of like if GoBots were huge and like the Transformers were like, hey. Like,
the only reason I know Deathstroke is because he was in those Arkham, the video games. That's the only reason I really know who he is.
Yeah.
I think.
And I don't, it seems like a strange choice to be in the Legion of Doom, which seems to be what they're building, but... You know, whatever, I guess.
Also, this is something that I didn't even think about it because I was watching it with the closed captions on. But he's identified in the captions as Deathstroke when he speaks. But they don't actually say that name at all. They just call him Mr. Wilson.
Yeah, right.
So now that I think about it, the first time I saw the movie, I had no clue.
This is because it all ties into the Dennis the Menace cinematic universe.
That's right. That's right.
He will get that damn Dennis.
Yes. I hope they really go like the old Super Friends cartoon, and like there's like silly villains in the Legion of Doom. Like I always remember like Scarecrow was in the Legion of Doom, and you'd be like, no one would want to work with Scarecrow. No one. Like that guy's ridiculous, you know.
Or who was Vincent Price? Was that Egghead?
Egghead. Or they always had Black Manta on Super Friends, who was a villain whose powers were basically completely water based. So they only had around so that Aquaman had someone to fight with. I think Black Manta is actually in the Aquaman movie, so we probably will be seeing him in the Legion of Doom. All right, before we do kind of our final thoughts, here's our So Wrong It's Right question. The 10 minutes of credits are crazy because there are so many digital effects companies listed. There were at least 7 digital effects companies listed as they go through. I want you guys to guess for one of those. I think it's the one with the most... How many digital artists were listed? And this is just for
one. Did you count them?
I did.
Oh, my God. Oh, wow.
I did. This is for one of the 7 visual effects companies who are listed. How many credited digital artists do you think there were? And by the way, that means somebody actually had to do enough work to get a credit on it.
173.
Okay.
I was going to say 135.
I was going 127.
Whoa, Christy nails it. 126 people.
Oh, wow.
For one of the 7. That basically means anybody who had any digital effects experience working in Southern California was essentially like told, get in here, you're hired. This is the gold rush.
I think that was kind of the case with the Green Lantern movie.
Where, yes.
Like... Hey, you had a computer. Right. Here's a license for this this program. Learn how to use it. Be back here in half an hour.
I mean, it's not surprising.
We're going to give you $50.
It's not surprising how many, like I said, every fight scene in CGI, you have the mustache stuff. I mean,
everything is.
A lot of the scenics, the landscapes are CGI. It's insane.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, you have Atlantis and you have, what's Wonder Woman's? Those are all CGI. It's a lot of CGI.
I was about to say Amazonia, right.
I kind of almost appreciated the fact that for the ending battle landscape, they just turned everything red, so didn't have to try.
Right.
Right.
To make it look real. Just everything's red, so it's all fake.
And that was some of the worst stuff. That fight looked terrible to me.
Yeah, I thought that one was pretty bad.
And that's where they did a lot of the bad CG, or the bad green screen stuff. Even with them just standing there talking, it was like, just you could tell it was green screen. It just looked terrible.
Yeah, I think they were just trying to make the date at that point. Yeah. And there's a shot of Wonder Woman kind of jumping at the screen, which just felt like they had kind of had it as... almost like B-roll, like they shot it against a green screen. And like they probably got into a tough point in edit where like, use that shot of Wonder Woman jumping towards the screen. It will fit anywhere, you know. We can go around it for, is it so bad it's good? I don't know that it's so bad it's good. It's just sort of like, it has its moments. It's okay. Mm-hmm. It is like an NCIS episode, basically.
Far more investigation in an NCIS episode, though.
Far more actual work. The Flash stuff, for me, I was telling Christy this, I had to buy it rather than rent it because I wasn't going to be able to watch it in one night, so I now own it. I mean, would I watch it again? I really did like some of the Flash stuff. I don't know. I mean, it's kind of neither here nor there. I guess it's okay. It's okay, I guess. I don't know. It feels like a very, like, I don't know. What do you guys, Cody, what do you think?
If I had bought it, I probably would watch it again. Like you said, the Flash stuff I really liked. Some of the Batman stuff I liked. If I had a different bad guy, I probably would have liked it a lot more. I think that was what really killed it for me, was I didn't care about Steppenwolf. And that stuff I just didn't really care about. Other than that, it was fairly enjoyable. I mean, considering how much I expected to hate it, based on Batman vs. Superman and Man of Steel, it was a surprise for me.
Yeah,
it's definitely not... I mean, it's far better than Man of Steel and BBS. Mm-hmm. It's just, like I said in the beginning, it's just forgettable to me. Nothing about it... The Flash is really the only thing that stands out. I do own it. So I might watch it again, like, before going to see an Aquaman or a Flash movie, just as a, you know, reminder. It's not awful. It's just, you know, it passes the time and then it's out of my brain.
Right. Yeah.
I think if they continue on the same kind of feel as this movie, they'll be better with the DC movies, hopefully.
Yeah.
They learn their lessons.
Yeah. I mean, I made this joke to a friend, which is, this is sort of like you're watching Olympic gymnastics. And then a gymnast comes out and does like 5 somersaults and a cartwheel. And you're like, they nailed it. The degree of difficulty was so low that they did nail it, though. So, I mean, and this movie's a little of that. It's just like, oh,
kind
of
had to do that, though. Why not? Go back to that and just let's try something simple and try to see if we can do that.
Yeah.
I liked it better than Man of Steel and Batman versus Superman, but... It basically struck me as the Asylum Films version of Avengers.
Yeah.
Like, it just...
Yeah, basically.
It looked cheap for the most part. Especially anything involving the CGI. Mm. And just... I don't know. It Warner Brothers trying to capitalize on Marvel's success.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a weird one. I mean, we kind of had to do it. And I am glad to have seen it, because of DC Comics' recent history, Wonder Woman notwithstanding.
I will say, like, the last two have been leaps and bounds better than the first three. Yeah. So maybe it's a good sign for DC.
And they laid some groundwork that, like, for the most part, the cast works, I feel.
Yeah.
I don't think Snyder's still going to be involved with Justice League 2. So I think getting him out and bringing someone else in will do them a world of good.
Yeah. Yeah. And like I was thinking just earlier, I would like to see, as much as I hated Man of Steel and I really hated it, I would like to see another just Superman standalone movie. Without Zack Snyder. Because because they finally Lane got Amy Adams work well together, and
and I like
they could
Henry,
do it better if he was more positive and more hopeful. Yeah,
and
Henry such
Cavill
much better
in
movie.
This movie is more. I liked him more in this movie than anything. As small as his part is, I liked it better than anything in the previous two.
They finally got him to where he's Superman.
Yeah,
which he wasn't for the first two.
Right.
Yeah. Well, that's because they had to kill off that Superman so they could bring back a new one.
They need a Pet Sematary situation to get it right.
That should be the elaborate. He should tell people, well, I actually died in the Zack Snyder universe, but I'm alive in the Joss Whedon universe. Yeah. There it is.
JWDCU.
The JW expanded DCU. Yes. We will be back next time we've got a couple movies we're considering, and more fun, more games. We'll be back very soon. All right, see you next time. Bye.